Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. While you're doing that, Saturday at 8 o'clock, if you have a shovel and a rake that fits your hand, they could usually have, they're going to have a little work day out here and kind of gather up all the stones that ended up in the grass because of the snowplow. And if you could help Brother Ron and the men do that, meet here at Saturday, this coming Saturday, 8 o'clock. I know they'd appreciate that. They would appreciate that. I think I have 8-month-old fingerprints on my glasses here. Not that they've been on there for 8 months, but it came from an 8-month-old. But anyway, I was back there visiting before the service. All right, anybody need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet. Anybody need a worksheet that did not get one? Okay, very good. I'm gonna get my papers mixed up here. There we go. All right. Romans chapter 10, if you will. Romans chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. Romans 10, verse number 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all was rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray, and we're taking on number 4 of our plan here tonight. If we will ask Jesus to save us, he will. What a wonderful thought. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for these dear folks, their faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you for salvation. Thank you that it's free. Thank you that it's paid in full. Thank you that, Lord, you looked down on us and had pity. And though we have walked away from you, and you knew that even after we were saved, there would be times when we, like a little child, kind of sneak around, do things we shouldn't do, knowing our Heavenly Father knows all about it, yet you came and you died and you paid for our sin because of your love. Like Brother Merle said there, you loved us so much that you died for us to give us eternal life. Now, Lord, I pray that you help me be a blessing to these folks. And, Lord, I appreciate Sunday night and over 70 people filled out a card and turned it in saying that they would like to do their best with your help to lead somebody to Christ before this year's over. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless their efforts. And, Lord, I know that the more effort put on, the more there is to bless, but, Lord, I pray that you'll bless them. Pray that they'll look to you for the power and the wisdom. Pray that they'll spend some time to study, to show themselves approved, to know the Word of God, so they're ready to give the reason for the hope that's within them. Lord, I want to be encouragement to. I don't want to. Lord, I'm really not trying to browbeat or anything like that. I want to encourage them. What a wonderful thought to think that we could lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Lord, I pray that you bless our time here in Christ's name. Amen. Romans 3:10, for as it is written, say it with me, there is none, no, not one. All right, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the is through Christ our Lord. Amen. And Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his toward in that Christ. Amen. Part number one. If we're going to lead somebody, Lord, we've got to know where we're headed. So point number one is, all have sinned, right? All have sinned. Point number two, because of our sin, we deserve, finish it up, that's good. We deserve death and hell. But Jesus and paid for all our sin. Okay, say it with me, you can do it. And if we will ask Jesus to save us, he will. That's a wonderful thought. He's a wonderful thought. So that's, now, I want to begin, like I did last week, the more you see this, I can't take all of you out soul winning with me. But one of the things that happens that works so well when you go out trainee, is that you see it happen. You see it happen over and over again. All right? Now, I'm going to switch around just a little bit to start with. Suppose I'm the prospect. Who wants to ask me the first question? Don't be shy. You can ask me the first question. I'm the prospect. Well, no, I don't think so. Well, you could. All right, that's good. That's good to watch. Now, the question I asked is, do you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Or you could say, if something were to happen to you, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? The word sure, or you know without a shadow of a doubt, is a real important part of it. Do you know for sure? And a lot of times, in fact, I had someone just the other day say, well, I hope so. I think so. And so if I say, well, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Give me another question. Wow, that's a good question. I don't know. So what's the next question? You're not going to let me in if I'm a lawyer, right? All right, now. Okay. So the point was I want to know for sure, but I don't know for sure. So I say, well, you said, would you not, I don't know what I would tell them. There you go. Or how God, the way I like to say it is how God will guarantee you heaven. Either one, it's all false. Everybody's going to do it, but the point is, you got to get them to question to the point where they are. Where are they? Do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven? Well, I'd like to think so. I hope so. I always thought I do, and yeah, I think so. Okay, watch this. You ask me, do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven? I would say, yeah. Now ask me your question again.
If you would die today and knock on the gates of heaven or doors of heaven, why would they let you in?
Okay, now watch this. You see, some people will say, well, what are you basing your faith on? You know what that does? That opens up a can of worms you don't want to get into. Because what happens is they'll start preaching to you. And then they're going to start saying about works. They're going to say, well, grandma said I was okay, and this happened, and I was in the hospital at the foot of my bed. There was this glowing light, and I just got all warm all over, and I knew that everything's going to be okay. Listen, I've heard all those. So I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus spared my life on this side. No, that doesn't mean. Maybe he's saving you right now so you learn the real salvation. You know, I don't know, but some people, well, I saw this light at the end of the bed, and so I know I'm going to heaven. That's not what it says in the Bible. The whosoever seeth the light at the end of his bed shall go to heaven. It doesn't say that. You can believe a lot of things. So you got the point. So, well, you know, all right, do you know for sure if you die? Go ahead. Well, I'd like to think so. But so you don't. So we say, well, then, all right. Well, suppose I say, well, I think I would. And you said, well, what would you do? Well, I mean. I tell them that I try to do right. I've been faithful to my wife. I've tried to help people and do the best I can. Next question. You can write it down on the corner if you want. How do you know when you've done enough good? I'm just telling you, after giving the gospel thousands of times, I'm just telling you, you can save yourself a lot of trouble if you ask the right questions. Because if you open it up, they're going to start preaching. As soon as it comes out of their mouth, it's going to be hard to get them to swallow it and take it back. Somebody else who doesn't know that they said that is going to have to give them the gospel before they're going to admit the right thing. They're probably not going to admit it to you because they just told you, and then you got to tell them, no matter how nice you say it, that they're wrong. If you open up and say, well, what are you basing that on? And then they give you their religion. Well, now, what are you going to do? Tell them that they're wrong? And no matter how nice you say it, If it doesn't agree with what the gospel is, you're telling them it's wrong, and they know it, and you know it, and then it just kind of puts a damper on the whole thing. So you say, well, what do you think? Well, so, well, I hope so. I think so, you know, and I do good. Well, how do you know when you've done enough good? And they'll usually say, well, I don't think anybody knows that. I said, well, you're probably right. I just agree with them. Everything's going fine. I'm serious. Listen, I'm serious. I'm not manipulating people. All I'm saying is pride can kill a person. In fact, pride can send them to hell. And if you do something that raises that little bit of pride, which we all have, we're not doing them any good. We're not doing them any good. So they say, well, I'd like to think so. If you say, I don't know how much good you have to do to get to heaven. Well, okay. Well, can I show you from the Bible? Or I'll say, has anyone? A lot of times we'll do it that way, so it doesn't look like I'm the only one that believes this. Has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how God will guarantee you heaven? Has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how God will guarantee you? It's not me. And it's something that's, to a certain extent, you kind of say, well, it's fairly common knowledge. Someone else may have done this with you before. I've even had some folks who will say, well, I think so. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Would it be okay if I just kind of walk through it with you and make sure we got it? You don't have to be confrontational in evangelism, which some people talk about, doesn't have to be confrontational. It can be face-to-face. It may come up out of nowhere, but it doesn't really have to be a confrontation. It doesn't have to be me against you, because it's not me against you. I'm for you. You know, I'm for that person who needs to be saved. I want them to get saved. I'm not here to prove that I'm right. I'm here to prove that Jesus is right, and the rest of us, we're sinners, and we just get on the gift. That's what I'm trying to do. So we get to that point. We say, well, all right, well, can I show you from the Word of God how God will guarantee you heaven? Is that all right, Tug? Can I do that? I'll pick on you today. Is that all right? That'd be okay? All right. Now, you're going to say, I remember all this. Well, I asked you a couple of questions. We had a little trouble remembering them. So we're going to go through it again, all right? I want you to feel as comfortable as you can. Now, there's four things that we need to know. And what's the next thing I'm going to say? First two don't sound too good. That's good. First two don't sound too good. And I'm preparing. You say, well, why? Because it's not going to sound good. I'm going to let them, first two don't sound too good, but you stick with me, the other two sound, it gets real, real good. The first one says here in Romans 3:10, it says here that, for as it is written, I'm getting there, for as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That means there's none that does right all the time. You following through with me here? It's all starting to sound familiar. There's none that does right all the time. In fact, it's kind of funny how he says it. He almost expects us to kind of complain here. There's none righteous. Yeah, but I'm not that bad. Which is what he's thinking. That's what he's thinking. This guy's going to tell me I'm a bad guy. That's what he's going to do. There's none righteous. It looks like I'm not that bad. But no, not one. For here it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means I'm a sinner. And I always go right for the deacons. That means all my deacons are sinners. All my choir members are sinners. Everybody in my church is a sinner. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, what's the glory of God? You know where I'm going? Let's say we go to a wedding, and the back doors of the church come open. And there she stands in all her glory. Now, you can come up with your own illustrations. I'm just telling you, you're welcome to use these or come up with one that's better, that feels good for you. But there she stands in all her glory, all that makes her beauty, her hair's all done, her smile, her personality. That's all that makes her. Think about all that makes God, God. And you can think of a couple things. He's holy. He's righteous. I always throw in he's merciful and loving. He's never wrong. He's always right. It says there, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, it doesn't say all have sinned and come short of the glory of the preacher. Or all have sinned and come short of the glory of your parents, who you got a problem with. Somebody says, I don't like my, or your brothers and sisters, or the neighbor next door, or the boss. We're not compared to them. My boss is awful. And if he thinks he's going to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven. No, all these things are going through their brain. Because I've heard them all, and I've learned how to knock them down before they say those things. All right, so, but we're not compared to them. We're compared to God. And when we compare ourselves to, this is important, when we compare ourselves to God, we come up short. That's a key statement. When we compare ourselves to God, we come up short. Would you agree with that? I think any honest man would have to agree with that. Now, it gets a little worse before it gets better. Look at the second thing here it says. It says here in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Now, the wages, now, you detail cars, don't you? Okay. And now you don't really get a paycheck, so to speak, but there's money at the end of the week, Lord willing. That's your wages. That's what you've earned for what you've done. Now, when I was a kid, there was sometimes my dad said, you're cruising for a bruising. You're itching for a switching. I was earning something that I didn't want. Now, the Bible says here, the wages of sin is death. What I get, and I would point to wages, for being a sinner, and we're all sinners, we all decided that, didn't we? What I get for being a sinner is death. Now, of course, they know what death is, and so I'll go right into it. The Bible says the appointed man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. That's my physical death. That's when my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions is separated from this world. But the Bible says there's a second death. And a lot of people say, oh, come on, that's a second death. All right, it says here, Revelation 21:7 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part or their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, it doesn't have to say hell there for us to know what it's talking about. And it says all these other things here, all these things, but if none of those get us, my guess is liar does somewhere along the way. We've got to learn that we're sinners. So it says that's the second death. That's when I'm separated from God for eternity. I've decided I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. And when I die, that decision is made. I'm going to be away from him as far as I can be. And he's going to be away from me as far as he can be. That's the second death. So, well, am I really that bad? Well, it's talking about heaven, his presence here, and it says, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That means I can't go into heaven if I would defile it. Now, defile sounds like a nasty word. You think I just kind of memorized. This just kind of came from doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, and it'll work for you too. Defile sounds like a nasty word. Now, where am I going? I'm going to get a glass of water. That's exactly right. So now watch me. So I said, you know what? It probably gets hard. I don't know whether you have air conditioning in your show. You don't have air conditioning. So in the middle of summer, it gets hot in there. And when it's 95 degrees on the outside, and the humidity's up, and you're sweating. Of course, you're young and thin. I sweat when it's 75. But anyway, it's hot. And so I said, okay, Tug, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go in and get you a glass of water. I'm going to get a clean glass. I'm going to put fresh ice in there. And I'm going to get what's supposed to be pure water, put it in there. Is it cold? Yep, it's cold. Here you go. Now, all of a sudden, you're not as thirsty as you think you are. That's because I have defiled it. Now, watch this. If you didn't see me do it, you wouldn't know because it looks fine on the outside. Another key statement. But it's not what we look like on the outside. It's what God knows we are on the inside. Key statement. Now, that's all it takes. You don't want that glass of water. And that's all it takes to keep me out of heaven. Let's say one other thing. Watch this. Suppose everybody in the world had been perfect but me. And everybody in the world is sitting in heaven but me. And if God said, you know what, I feel sorry for Sterling, let's let him into heaven. If he did, then heaven's not heaven for you because I defiled it. And it's supposed to be perfect. So we're all sinners, and because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Review. Put it back in their mind. Put the sequence there. Watch this. Now, if I stopped right there, we're all in a heap of trouble. Everyone who's ever been born is headed to hell. But God didn't make us to send us to hell. God didn't stop there. Look, let's go back to our verse here in Romans 6. It says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, what I've earned for being a sinner, wages of sin, is death. But he says, God's going to give me eternal life. Well, how's that? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, how would he do that? That's when I go right on, right over to 5:8. It says here, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, wait a minute. The wages of sin is death, but Christ died for us. Let me give you an illustration. You know where I'm going? I'm going to go to my father, the judge. Very good. All right, let's say I stole a car. I didn't. I always do that. I didn't, but let's say I stole a car. They haul me into court, and when I get into the courtroom, my father's the judge behind the bench. So I walk up to the bench, and my father says, Sterling, you take that car. We were just having fun. See, we reason away sin. You see what I'm doing here? Sin was not that bad. It was just a childish prank. You see, now what we got to do is see sin for what it really is. Even though it looks like it's very benign, nobody got hurt, no damages, just a couple guys out for a joyride. What's the big deal? Well, it's a felony. That's the big deal. It's a felony. You stole a car. So, well, did you steal? Listen, the car's fine, Dad. That's not the point. Did you steal the car? Yeah, I stole the car. Well, now you can say it in third person if you want. I like to act it out, but you can say it in third person if you want. But he said, well, son, you're guilty. And they put me on the bench to do what's right and what's just. If I let you off, then I'm telling any kid in town he can take any car he wants any time he wants. I can't do that. It's not right. Now you're guilty. So the penalty is, and you can come up with your own, this is not legal, but it's 60 days in jail or a $5,000 fine. So you pay the $5,000 and we'll get you out of here. And I even say, we'll do the paperwork and get us out. You'd be surprised how many people know all about the legal system. And if I don't say it quite right, they'll stop me right there. It's the craziest thing. But they'll do the paperwork and we'll get you out of here. And he said, well, Dad, I don't have $5,000. Well, then I guess it's 60 days in jail. And I even paused there for a second, let him think. Just a couple seconds. I said, you know what? Then my dad got out his checkbook. I like these little tracks here. They're not much to look at, but they work real well. I says, he takes a check, he writes out a check for $5,000. And there's another key thing. He signs his name to it. So now he owes my debt. He owes the $5,000. And he says, here, you pay the clerk, and we'll get you out of here. Now, at that point, I'm going back to Scripture and tell him what Jesus did. Now, we can talk, if all you talk in is illustrations, they're still trusting your story. They've got to get the scriptural background of it all. They got to get the truth right out of the Word of God somehow. Now, you don't have to go to the detail that I do, but I think you'll see why I do what I do. The night that Jesus was, just before he was crucified, they arrested him in the garden. Now watch this. You know, a lot of times people, they don't like those church people. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. They all just think they're better than everybody else. You know, that's what they think. Well, they hadn't been to Lighthouse Baptist yet, but they think that's what they think, all right? So they think, well, you know who wanted them to have them crucified? It was the religious people. Because he told them that they were sinners like the rest of us, and they didn't want to hear it. So you know what I just did? Well, that's right, we're all sinners. Nobody ought to lie and tell you, say they're not a sinner. You know, that's what he's on the side of pointing at we're all sinners. You see what I'm saying? It's helping him understand these things. All right, so they arrest him, take him back to the high priest's office, and they put a blindfold and they punch him. When they get tired of that, they take him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. He could have him executed. And he went up and said, want him to have crucified. And they made up a bunch of stories. And he said, well, let me talk to him. So he talked to Jesus, and he comes back out and says, there's no reason to crucify this man. And they just kept pushing. And so trying to keep everybody happy, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have him scourged. I always say about this time. Now, there's a reason why I go through all this, so just hang tight with me. A scourge means that he was whipped with a cat of nine tails, and it had bone and powder, and there's nine pieces of leather, and just it would grab the body, would it would grab, they'd pull it back, and they could tear a man in half with that thing. Then he platted a crown of thorns to put on his head. A little later, it says they hit him on the head, which would have driven those thorns into his scalp. They put the cross on the back, on his back, and told him to carry it up the hill. Of course, he fell beneath the load. Simon and Cyrene carried the rest of the way. But when he got to the top of the hill, they put him on the cross and nailed him through his hands and his feet. Now, here's the point. When the cross went up, he was bleeding from every part of his body. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, I didn't quite make the connection. Why does his blood pay for my sin? What's the connection? It's because he died. What does that have to do with me? And so I wanted to know why this works. Why does his death and resurrection have anything to do with me? So when it went up, he was bleeding from every part of his body. Now, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. That means a man doesn't have any blood, he doesn't have any life. Everybody relates to that. So that means every drop of blood that fell from his body was literally his life leaving him. Now, while his life was leaving him, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I'll tell you what was happening. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. By the way, you learn this to give it to somebody else, you'll be so solid in your own salvation, you won't believe it, you'll never doubt it again. And because you'll be so solid and won't doubt it again, there'll be a lot of other things you'll be able to live by faith. Because you know how clear it is salvation is. Well, if he saved me, listen, he that spareth not his own son, how shall I not also give me all things? When you start realizing what he did, it'll get you happy. But anyway, he laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all. Well, we can't go into God's heaven with sin on us. So now that he has our sin on him, God had to turn his back and let him die with our sin on him. A little while later, he said, it is finished. And I'm going to ask the question that everybody thinks, well, what is finished? What he came to do. He told Zacchaeus that came to seek and to save that which is lost. He told his disciples, we're going down to Jerusalem. They're going to abuse me. They're going to crucify me. The third day I'm going to rise again. In fact, Peter says, oh, we won't let that happen. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And basically he says, this is why I'm going down here. He died. He said, Father, in thy hands I commit my spirit. And he died. Now they took him off the cross, and the Bible says they put him in a tomb. And on the third day, the Bible says, and I make sure the Bible says, it says he rose again. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just a stupid kid, but the fact is, I always thought, well, why was the resurrection so important? Amen, the resurrection! I didn't know. He's alive. That's wonderful. I was a kid, thought, well, I like happy endings. That's good. To me, that's all it meant. But then when the Bible says you got to believe he rise from the dead, that means that there must be something important about that resurrection. So I went looking. Now, wait a minute. That means he rose again. Now, the Bible says that he rose again. Now, when I was a kid, I thought I liked happy endings, but it's more than that. I'm going to go back to my illustration. Suppose when my dad offered me that $5,000 check, what if I said, and I'm setting him up not to do such a thing. Watch this. Suppose I said, you know what, if you don't love me enough to let me off, I don't need you or your stinking money. You keep it. And there's people who already think, listen, if God already, why would God send me to hell if he's a loving God? If he's a loving God, why would he let this happen? Why would he let that happen? See what I'm saying? And so you think, well, why would he let that happen? You know what you know what that would get me? 60 days in jail. And you know what he's thinking about now? That's pretty stupid. You got a check right in front of you for $5,000, you're going to go to jail? Well, that's pretty dumb. I wouldn't do anything like that. He's not thinking about where we're going to get to here in a few moments. But he said, that's kind of dumb. It doesn't make sense. Someone gives you a gift like that, why don't you make use of it? And be honest with you, that's the truth. Someone's willing to give you eternal life. All you got to do is admit that you're wrong and you need him. that's pretty good. I lost my place here. Let's say I go to jail. After 60 days, what's supposed to happen. I know what happens in the legal system, but what's supposed to happen to me in theory? If I got a guy who's got about 15 tattoos and he's all this, and I know where he's been, I'll ask him. I know you know the system, because he'll straighten me out, because he knows the system. All right, I know he knows the system. But let's say okay, if everything goes as supposed to, what happens to me after 60 days? Because it's paid for. That's why Jesus came out of the tomb. And I can't tell you how many times I see the lights go on. That's why he rose. But listen, if I'm still in prison, I'm still paying. If he's still in the prison of death, he's still paying. My penalty was 60 days in jail. The penalty he's paying, which is ours actually, the penalty he's paying is death. If he's still paying death, then if he's still dead, he's still paying. When he walks out of that thing, it's all done. So we're all sinners. Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. But Jesus died and paid for all our sin. And rose again, proving all our sins are paid for. Now I'm going to finish, and then we'll go back and put our pieces in. Now there's one last thing. And this is so easy. But this is what people miss. This is not a trick question. When my dad offered me the $5,000, if I wanted to stay out of jail, what did I need to do? Take it. Now, wait a minute. You're saying two things if you take it. One is you're saying you're guilty. Because if we're not guilty, let's get off. Okay? Second, we're saying I can't pay for it on my own. So I'm at the mercy of my Father. Kind of humbling, but that's what we're saying. Now, the Bible says it this way. In Romans 10, hang tight. I'm going to walk you through this. I've got it on your paper. Walk you through this. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call on the Lord means to pray. So does that mean everybody who prays gets to go to heaven? No. I can't tell you how many people who said, "I'm going to heaven, I pray." You know what? We don't understand this, but what we're saying is, "Oh, God loves me because I'm always there with my hand out." That's really what we're saying. Oh, he just thinks the greatest. I'm just the greatest because I've always got my hand out. But I won't say that to them. Does that mean everybody who prays is going to come? No. Let's put it in context. Look what it says. Now you're going to see it on your paper there. I'm going to walk it through. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now I'll say this. There's two things in there he needs us to know. It says, one, it says we need to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. That really means we need to be willing to confess that Jesus is who he says he is. That's what it means. Now, I can't pay for your sins. I can't pay for my own sins, much less pay for your sins. You can't pay for my sins. The only being in the universe that can pay for our sins is a being that has no sin. The only being in the universe that has no sin is God. Jesus is God who died in our place. Now, if they come to, "Well, I never understood that thing, a Trinity thing," everybody says, I got one little illustration. I don't usually put it in, but if someone has a problem, I can tell you what this is what I do. I said, I did this last week, I think, with you. Suppose we have a snow in March, and the next day it's 55 degrees, and you got snow laying on the ground, you got water running in the gutter, and you got fog. It's all made out of H2O. But there it is in three forms, all at the same time, in the same place. Now, if water can do that, I think God can. So if I could know everything about God, I'd be God. But the fact is, I think he can do it. So it says we're supposed to believe that with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And then it says, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, most people around here have heard enough about Jesus dying for our sins. And I say, and this is what I thought. Well, now it says I got to believe he died, that he rose from the dead. Now, make up your mind here, God. Which one you want? Supposed to believe that he died for our sins or when he rose again? I mean, that's kind of the stuff that goes through my mind. I know my mind is kind of weird. But anyway, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm saying, well, why does it say that we've got to believe that he raised from the dead? Well, first of all, if he rose from the dead, that must mean he must have been dead at one time, right? So they're assuming you know that part here. See? They assume you know that part here. So what do they want to know? Well, what we just talked about. When he rose from the dead, it proved all our sins are paid for. He wants you to believe that he paid for all your sin. Now, I'll do a little thing. That means not just the little sins, but the big sins. Not just the big sins, the little sins. Not just the past sins, but the present sins and the future sins. In fact, all our sins were in the future when he died. He paid for all of it, and him rising from the dead proved they were all paid for. So we got to confess the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And verse 10 says, for with the heart, this is an important verse, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You'll see something here in a second. Now, we all know some folks who confess things with their mouth that really aren't true. Again, they're all saying, why should I be a Christian? I know so-and-so and so-and-so. Guy down the street, he curses like a sailor, and he calls himself, you know, all this stuff's going on in your head. I said, we can confess all kinds of things, but it doesn't make it true. It said, but it does say, with the heart man believes on the righteousness. Now, I was trying to, and I use this, you can explain it your way. I tried to explain this to a guy one time, and I asked him, I said, do you trust me? And you've heard me do this. And he said, well, yeah, you're a preacher, I trust you. I said, well, good, would you give me your wallet and let me go downtown? And I said, that's what he did. they don't even want to say, that's what he did. The fact is, he didn't want to lie to me, but he didn't want to give me his wallet either. You know, he didn't. I said, well, of course you don't, because you don't know me well enough to trust me with your heart. Now, again, you can come up with your own little details, but you get the idea. Now, I've been to the hospital a couple of times, and I give my wife my wallet, and I don't think anything about it. It's got my driver's license and my credit card and my Social Security card, so I can get to visit the guys at the jail. I said, you could steal who I am with my wallet. So I've told way too many people that. But anyway, you can steal who I am. But I did have no problem giving it to my wife because I trust her with all my heart. That makes sense? So it's more than trusting with my mind that, well, okay, it makes sense. It's trusting with my heart. In fact, look at it this way. And a lot of times, and this is, if you can get them around the kitchen table, that's a great thing, or get them around the living room. And usually I'm sitting down, I'm not standing up here preaching at them, but I'm sitting down and I'll say, now, you know, I came in here and you told me to have a seat and I appreciate it. And I didn't take the chair up here and figure it out and see if it was okay. I just kind of took your word for it. But suppose I said, I'm going to trust the chair, but I'm going to hang on to the table just in case it goes down. Do I really trust the chair? No. Now, if the chair goes down, I go down. This is one of those times where you got to put all your eggs in one basket. Either Jesus died and paid for all your sins, or he didn't pay for any of them. Make it risk. Well, they might not pray if you say that. I haven't had one of them get back up from that. This is what you got to decide whether he did or not. So it says, with the heart man believes in the righteousness, and with a confession, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that simply means if you really believe it, you won't care who knows it. Back to next verse says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Wouldn't be embarrassed. Watch this. It says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, Jews thought they were God's chosen people. And they had a special in with God. And in fact, they called the Greeks dogs. This is in your paper there. But God says, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your background is. I don't care whether you feel like a loser and everybody and all your ancestors were losers. That makes no difference. You're not a loser in God's eyes. He loves you. Whether you're rich or poor, young, old, educated, uneducated, he says, whosoever will call upon him shall be saved. He'll give you all the riches of heaven. And then it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I got one last illustration. I'm all done. When Jesus died on the cross, and you've heard me, if you've been to a funeral, you've seen this. You already know where I'm going with this one. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says he died between two thieves. Luke 23, I always put that in so they know where I'm getting the story. Luke 23 calls them malefactors. That means bad guys. And so they had a bad guy on each side of them. And the people were making fun of Jesus. Well, if you're king of the Jews, save yourself. You're the son of God, get yourself off the cross. All this type of stuff. After a while, one of the soldiers starts to make fun of him. If you're king of the Jews, save yourself. Finally, one of the thieves starts making fun of Jesus. He says, if you're really the Christ, save yourself and us too. Well, the guy on the other side calls across and says, man, don't you fear God? Don't you know we're all condemned to die here, but we justly so? But this man, I'm paraphrasing, but you tell, but this man's done nothing. And then it says he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned back and said, verily or truly, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now think about it. A man is going to be dead in a couple hours, says to another man who's going to be dead in a couple hours, hey, when you get your government set up, give me a call. What kind of government does a dead man have? He doesn't. So somehow he believes that Jesus is who he says he is. In fact, he calls him Lord. And that word Lord, you look it up, means supreme commander, supreme controller. He basically said, you're the big man upstairs. When all this settles down, would you come back and get me? And Jesus basically said, I'll do better than that. You'll be with me in paradise before the day's over. Now watch this. And now you got this on your paper. Now watch this. I'm going to shoot down a bunch of things here real quick. Because if I don't, old Satan's going to put them in their mind, and they're going to bring it up, and I'm going to lose them. I got to put it down before it comes out of their mouth. Comes out of their mouth. The old pride of life will take control. I can't tell you how many people have been that close to receiving Christ, and pride gets in the way, and that mountain of pride, they just cannot get over it. Three quick little things. Now, that thief's going to be in paradise with Jesus, but he never had a chance to be baptized. Now, a lot of places around here, they're going to say, well, you know, either they're Catholic or they're Methodist or Lutheran or some, or United Church of Christ. A lot of those are going to think you've got to be baptized, a baby or somewhere, or you don't have complete salvation somehow or other. Now, that man's going to go, he's going to go to heaven, but he's never been baptized. Now, I'm all for folks getting baptized, but you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. That man is going to be in heaven with Jesus, but he never had a chance to join a church. You know that one? Well, my name's on the roll. It's been on the roll since 1927. Don't tell me I'm not going to heaven. I even got a pew in the church that has my name on it. And we had a bit, listen, back in 58 when we had a building program, I gave them $25,000. That was a lot of money back then. Don't tell me. He's going to be in heaven, but he never had a chance to join a church. Now, I'm a pastor. I'm all for folks joining the church, getting involved, serving. But that's not what saves us. Watch this. He's going to be in heaven. I got under. But he never had a chance to make right all the wrongs that he had committed. Well, and folks say, well, you know, I think what you got to do, you got to, you know, I know you take it, but you got to pay him back. You got to pay him back. You got to do this. Listen, so help me. You got to pay him back now. That's the only right thing to do. And you know what? There's a certain amount of character that we have instilled to take in certain generations to say you take responsibility for your own actions. That's good. The problem is you can't. No matter how much responsibility you take for your actions of your sin, you're still not going to heaven. He never had a chance to make right all the wrongs that he had committed. There's a lot of them because he's being executed for them. What did he do? He called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, here we go. So, we're all sinners. Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Would you go along with that? You believe Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sin? Rose again the third day, proved never sinned, never paid for. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now look him square in the eye. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. If you can't look him square in the eye, then maybe we need to go back and check some things on yourself. Look him square in the eye. Let me ask you a question. If God will take you just like you are, forgive your sin, and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? That's where we're going to pick up the invitation next week. Now, I know I've gone a long way. And you say, well, this sounds like the same thing we did last week. Yep, it's going to be the same thing next week. And the next time you try to win somebody to the Lord, and the next person trying to try to win somebody to the Lord, it'll be similar. Now, watch me real quick here. Number one, we're going to review. We're all sinners. You probably got these, right? We're all sinners, and because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. But Jesus, and for all our sins. Now, many people know these facts, but this is where folks miss it. And I go right through the illustration about my father and the $5,000, and I got it all written out there for you. Going through there, we could take him all the point where he says that you're guilty, I'm admitting I can't pay for myself. Number three, at this point, we're going to take this passage that we did here this evening, Romans 10:9, and we're going to summarize the plan right in front. We've kind of taught it all. Now we're going to put it all together so they can see it all in a capsule form. The point is, if they don't know what they're trusting, they can't trust it. So this is kind of laborious. We're talking about, listen, this is going to give somebody eternal life in heaven. I think it's worth it to make sure they know. So, letter A, we need to know what we're trusting before we can trust it. That's my statement. And number one, believe in who Jesus is. Believe in who Jesus is. And that's when I go to Romans 10:9. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, there's two things in the verse we need to see. We need to confess who Jesus is. I can't pay for your sins. You can't pay for my sins. The only one who can pay for our sins is someone who has no sin. Number two, we got to believe that Jesus paid for all your sin. It says, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Well, I thought we were supposed to believe that Jesus died for our sins. Why does it say now we got to believe that he rose from the dead? Well, if it says Jesus rose again, that must mean he was dead at one time. So we're assuming you know that. So why does the Bible ask us to believe that he rose from the dead? Because we need, number five, we need to believe that Jesus died for all our sins. All our sins were laid on Jesus. And now that he's alive, it proves that all our sins are paid for in full. Not just the little sins, but the big sins. Not just the big sins, but the little sins. Not just the past sins, but the present sin, the future sin. Still with me? Letter B. We must believe with our heart. So we've got to believe it. We've got to believe in our heart. Trust in our heart. Now, this is an important verse. I would say that, but many folks miss this. And I'll guarantee you there's a lot of folks who sit in good churches and are part of good families and have lived a good life that's not going to end up in heaven because they never trusted Christ with their heart. They trusted him with their head. They said, well, I believe it happened. Well, good. That's like saying, Mama, I believe Mama cooked a meal, but until you devour it and digest it, it's not going to do you any good. You've got to accept it. And who you are. And then, of course, we've got, for the heart man believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made in salvation. Now, we've all heard folks profess to be something that they're not. You've heard that part. And then I do verse number three. I got a blank there. So suppose you just met thus and so, and he appeared to be trustworthy, but then he asked to use your credit card. Would you let him? I use mine. I've got a personal. Well, I was a pastor. Do you trust me? Yeah, you're the pastor. You know, that's the way I do it. So that's what I have there, number four, how I did it. So you can remember that. You can make up your own little illustration there. But the point is, we're realizing we got to trust with our heart, not just our head. Number six, Roman number six says we need to believe with all our heart. See it right before C. We need to believe with all our heart. Either Jesus died and paid for our sin, or didn't pay for any of them. And there's the thing about I sat in the chair, but I kept a hold of the table. Got to put all our eggs in one basket. It's all there just so you kind of read through. Letter C. On the other hand, if we truly believe in something, we will not be embarrassed to know who knows it. And so it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Letter D. God is willing to save us no matter who we are. God is willing. People are right about this time, a lot of people say, well, okay, that's all fine and dandy, but you don't know what's in my life. You don't know what I did. I was 16, and I talked my girlfriend into getting an abortion. When I was 17, I knocked off a liquor store. Or I lied about this, or I did this, or I did that. Listen, God is willing to save us no matter who we are. Verse 12 says, for there's no difference between, let's say that the religious people and the rest of us. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich and all to call upon him. The Jews thought there was something special to call the Greeks dogs, but God says, I don't care who you are, young, old, rich, poor, educated, uneducated. You can say it the way you want. The point is, he's willing. Letter E. And then it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number four, the final illustration, the thieves on the cross. You just heard me do it. The thieves on the cross. And I'll say, in Luke 23, we're told about the crucifixion of Jesus. And I want them to know, I'm going to tell them a story, but it's right out of Luke 23, and I'm going to kind of tell the story. And we go through that. Letter E, jump all the way down to E. The thief is going to be in paradise with Jesus, but he never had a chance to be baptized. See, you've got to knock a few of these objections down, because people are going to think, now, I'm not here to prove them wrong. I'm here to prove the Bible right. You don't get to heaven by being baptized. That's not going to do it. You got to be saved. Letter F, the thief is going to be in heaven because he has not had the chance to join a church. Join a church. It's great to join a church and serve God, but that doesn't save us. Letter G, the thief never had the chance to make right all the wrongs. And then letter H, the difference between the two thieves is one confessed he was a sinner, that Jesus was God, and he called on the Lord to save him. The other thief did not. That's the difference. Number five. You know what that word is? Can you guess it? Look at A, B, and C. Review! Review. So, well, preacher does that all the time. I know, but I'll tell you this. I have people who have told me over and over and over and over again in the last 12 years, I've learned more in this church from the Bible than I did in 20 years. In the first 6 months, I did in 20 years of the other church. Now, you say, well, you came over the same thing, but you learned it. If they don't know what they're trusting in, they can't trust it. They can't trust it. So, letter A. Now, we are all, would you agree with that? And because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Do you understand that? And letter C, Jesus died and paid for all our sin and rose again, proving all our sins was paid for. Do you understand that? And the Bible says that if we will and ask him to save us, he will. If we'll call, he will. Number six, here's the invitation. Now, when by the time I've gotten through, I'm dead serious. This is not me. I'm just telling you the way the Lord uses this. By the time I get to this point, I can't tell you how many people are almost drooling, waiting to pray the prayer. Now, it doesn't happen every time. Everybody's different, I understand. But I've had people, a couple people get ahead of me. Well, can I do it now? Okay, I've got to do it now. Listen, you get them lost, you offer them a Savior, they're pretty quick to grab a hold. But if they're not lost yet, you can't get them saved. I don't care how many prayers you have them to pray. The invitation, letter A. If God will take you just like you are, who would want me? The woman at the well. You being a Jew, why are you talking to me being a Samaritan? Why would you talk to me? If God will take you just like you are, forgive your sin, and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? Now, I have those four words chosen on for a reason. If God will take you, he'll take me, and he'll forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, would you let him? There's very few folks who understand what we've done that will refuse. You say, well, you've talked them into it. No, I've given them the Word of God. The Word of God talks them into it. We've gave it. What are we going to do? Dance around it, not tell them the truth? All I've done is tell them the truth. I told them they're sinners. I told them going to hell. Told them they can't do anything about it on their own. I just said it in a nice way. And they said yes. Now, the gospel is simple. Man makes religion difficult. I gave you I gave the homework there, didn't I? See that? Did I leave that on there? Yeah. Work a little bit more on those. You know, if it's really important to see folks saved, listen, we got a lot of talkers around here. You can come up with a story. It doesn't have to be real. Just tell them, okay, I suppose. I'm not like, suppose it's a story. Let them understand it. Yes, it takes a little. Say, well, you've been talking for 40 minutes. Yeah, but I stopped and preached a little bit in the middle. But I'll tell you what. I remember the day like it was yesterday. I stopped out in a little development out on the end of a cul-de-sac, just a couple little houses on it. And this lady had been coming to church. Her name was Carol Vaughn. And she had been bringing her mother, Mary Eisenhart. And I said, could I stop by and talk to you? And she said, well, sure. And so they had built a little apartment in the back of their house for Miss Mary, her mother. Some of you folks don't know her, but by the time she died, they called her Queen Mary. But she had a little apartment back. We went back into her little apartment, and I sat down there, and I did this right here. When I got all done, of course, you know how Carol is. She says, can I hug you? I remember like it was yesterday. Can I hug you? I said, well, your mother's here. I guess it'll be okay. Miss Mary, I wasn't sure how much she was getting. But man, if you got to know Mary Eisenhart after, you know, she wasn't ashamed of anybody. They picked her. Listen, there. I got a phone call. I was down south part of the county. It was time to go. I got a phone call. I was down south part of the county. Carol Vaughn called up and said they just took Mom to the hospital. And I thought, well, and she called me on the cell phone. So I'm going. So I got there before they did. And I said, well, there's a lady by the name of Mary Eisenhart coming. Well, they said they're going to put her right here in the emergency room, right here where these curtains are. That's where they're going to put her. I said, okay. So I stood there and waited for her to come. Well, after a while, here comes the EMTs with her on a gurney and moving in there. And she says, Pastor, there you are. She says, you must be Pastor Walsh. I said, yeah. She talked about you in Lighthouse Baptist Church all the way down. This is what she says. I don't know. This might be, it sounds just like, I don't know. This might be the time I'm supposed to croak, but it's okay because I know where I'm going. But I know where I'm going. It's okay. I remember Sunday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, I woke up from my sanctified nap. And Miss Mary was in, it was another time, but she was in the hospital. And I don't know what it was just like the Lord said, I don't usually go visit on Sunday. I got so much going on Sunday, I really don't. I said, you better go down and see, it's like the Lord said, you better go down and see Miss Mary or you won't see her again. So I got up, went down to the York Hospital. And I walked in there, and Carol knew she didn't want to bother me, you know what it was, but I walked in there, and you know, she cried. She's very tender-hearted, and she said, I think this is it. But she keeps getting slower, but then she's still there. And I walked in, and I had a word of prayer, and Miss Mary went, I think she was waiting for you to get here. Now, that's sweet. But I'll tell you what, you lead somebody to the Lord and they really got saved, they'll never forget it. And it's the sweetest thing to think, wow, I can see her. When I walk into heaven, she's going to say, well, Pastor Walsh, there you are. I did croak, but here I am. I can see it right now. I gotta go. We gotta go. Father, thank you for your opportunity and the ministry you've given of reconciliation. Lord, this is just so real. It's just so down to earth. Lord, this is the real thing. And Lord, it's so sweet. And Lord, maybe all of us, we may all just need to sometimes just, you know, make sure we got it ourselves. And then, Lord, just give ourselves over to you and surrender and let you use us. We may not win them the first time. We may not win the first 50 times. But Lord, you said if we will go forth in tears bearing precious seed, we will doubtless come again sometime or other, bringing our sheaves with us. That's a promise. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless each one as they study to show themselves approved, as they put these things to memory, and that they, as they give themselves to you, to be used by your Holy Spirit to lead others to Christ. I thank you for what they're going to do. We ask in Christ's name.